Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And of course, he's continuing his thought from Romans chapter 5. If you look back in verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." In other words, where there was no law, there was no sin. You wouldn't know you was doing bad if there was no law to tell you you was doing bad. I've used illustrations hundreds of times. You come down to 21 out here, and if there was no speed limit, 55, and you come down through there and you're doing 90, it wouldn't be nothing to you. Where there's no law, sin is not imputed. Paul said, "I wouldn't have known lust," in Romans chapter 7, "had not the law said, thou shalt not covet." He wouldn't have known what lust was. And you wouldn't know what sin was except the law. So the law entered that sin might be magnified as sin, that it might abound to you. Say, this is bad, this is wrong. Why? Well, the law says I shouldn't do it. Now, we got a speed limit out here at 55. Now, you come down through there at 90, you might get by with it. You might get by with it a couple times. But sooner or later, there's going to be somebody like Andy, and you're going to look up in your rearview mirror, and you're going to see blue lights. And then you're going to get mad that you got caught. The law, and then you have to pay the penalty. Y'all understand? I mean, you know, I've always said, if a trooper gets behind me and him one's turning off before very long. Now, Andy, it's nothing against Andy's state trooper. I'm just saying this. Why? Well, I'm human. And I'm going to make a mistake. And I don't want him back there to seeing me make that mistake. So I'm going to turn off. And if he turns off, I'm going to church somewhere. I'm turning into a church building somewhere. But the point is, what I'm trying to say is, there's no excuse. It's like when I was coming from state a couple years ago, and let me use June again. I just, you know, the way she is. She's a, you know how she is. She's going to Harmony. She gets in the car and she goes to Harmony. And she's going down there to get groceries. So she gets down and there's a deputy gets in behind her. She don't think that. She goes on to Harmony, pulls into Galaxy, goes in there and gets groceries. And so she comes out, comes back up through there, and at Mayberry's, there's two troopers. And they got a roadblock, and they're standing out there. And she gets out her license, and she said, and she can tell you, but she said he didn't. He just walked right up behind there and looked at my tag, come back up through there, and said, "Your tag is expired." Nothing she could do. There it is. Wrote out a ticket. And she said that was... when she got back, pulled off, they got in their cars and left. Set a roadblock up just for June. That deputy called in somewhere and said, "There's a car tied." But anyway, what could she say? Her sin abounded. She didn't put the sticker on it. Say, "Well, why didn't you do it?" That's her responsibility. No. But anyway, where sin abounded. Now here's what he said. Verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered They saw it. That the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, where it's magnified, where the law points it out to you, you're guilty. There it is. You don't have the right sticker on your tag. Or your inspections run out. Or you're speeding. Or whatever it is. Or you're coveting. No matter. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. At one time the law was reigning. And we look at that and we look back there and we see that here's the law that came in and it's reigning. Now there's moral laws that is still we abide by. But we're not under this law anymore as trying to keep that law to gain God's favor. I'm not trying to do the Ten Commandments so God will accept me. That's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to show me something. What was I needing to see? That I'm bad. That I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. Paul puts it like this. He said the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so now the law's not reigning, but you got grace reigning. Now look at what he says. He said in verse 21 that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Now chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, by our sin, if this makes grace abound, shall we continue in sin? I mean, hey, I'm under grace now. Well, look what he said. Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, how are you dead to sin? We're in an old body that's vile, it's sin. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The very thoughts of foolishness is sin. How in the world can I be dead to something that it still bothers me? It's all about identification. And so that's what I want you to see. Look in verse 3. And Paul's going to tell you how you're dead to sin. Know ye not? Don't you know? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His what? Now listen to me. Verse 3, you'll find the word into twice. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. This baptism puts you into Jesus Christ, does it not? Then it can't be a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it's a supernatural thing. There's no way that physically it's impossible to do something to somebody else and put them in somebody else. He said, you're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His what? He died.
So I come over here.
In AD 33, he was nailed. The Bible said he was nailed between two thieves. He was numbered with the transgressors. And he died. The Bible says the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and on the third day he arose again according to the Scriptures. Your sins is what put Christ to death. Now if we could have got, if there was a law given, Paul said, that had, could have given life, then Christ wouldn't have had to die. If there was a commandment that we could do that God had given us, and if it, that commandment could have brought life by our doing it, then Christ wouldn't have had to come into this world and die. We would have simply done the commandment, but not to give life. It was given to give death to show you that you need a Savior. Now, look in Rome, just turn over a page there and look in verse 23 of Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what a wage is? A wage is something you earn. The wages of sin. You earn it. You go to work, you work for a wage. You barter with that company, you're in agreement with that company, I'll do this for a wage. And that's what you earn. You earn that. That's what you get. The wages of sin, what are you earning through sin? Death. So how in the world are you going to pay that wage? Hey, people say, well, I'll take what I deserve. No, you won't. If you do, that's eternal. You see, your sins and your offenses and the law that you break, the Bible says transgression of the law is what? Sin. James says if you break any one point, you're guilty of all. I mean, you might say, well, I've never murdered nobody. One of the commandments is thou shalt not kill. Well, I've never murdered nobody. But then you go over to 1 John, you find out he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Now, wait a minute. You see, folks, it's the attitude of the heart, not the actions of the body, that God looks at. You might not physically murder nobody, but if you have a hatred heart toward people, that's murder under this. Put Jesus Christ, put it this way. People say, well, I've never committed adultery. Well, Jesus Christ said, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already. Where? It's in his heart. The Bible says God trieth and looketh upon the heart. God knows what's in your heart. It's your attitude. The very thought of foolishness is sin, and the wages of that sin, what's in your heart, whether it's murder, whether it's adultery, no matter what it is, it's your attitude. The wage of it is death. How are you going to pay that? Well, look in what he says. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. This baptism is identification. That's all that baptism was anyway. It was simply identification. If you believe the message in Luke, hang on to Romans and turn back to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And Look at this thing in Luke chapter 7, in verse 29. And all the people that heard him, John, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Now this is water baptism. They heard him out there. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. How did they know they rejected the counsel of God? They wouldn't be baptized. Look over in Matthew chapter 3 if you want to see what John's doing. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In verse... Matthew 3:1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come over down verse 7. But when he saw that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Look back in my verses, verse 6. And were verse 5, and then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And if they didn't get into the water, if they didn't confess their sins, they wouldn't get in the water. And if they didn't get in the water, that was showed that they didn't believe John's message. You know, a good illustration of that. Turn to Exodus chapter 9. And look in Exodus chapter 9. Give me another illustration. If people believe something, the message, they're going to do something. In verse Exodus 9, verse 20, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. In other words, you look back in verse 18, and Moses tells and said, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even unto now. Verse 20, and he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses, and he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. You can see the ones that believed the hail was coming, they got their cattle and their servants out, and the ones that just didn't pay attention to it left them standing out there in the field, and they got, and I mean, they were messed up. People in John's day heard his message, prepare ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and come, and they come in the Jordan, and they would confess their sins, and they would be ceremonial cleansing, purification, and that was a sign that they believed the message, and it identified them with the coming Messiah. Baptism is identification. And so it is with the body of Christ. Just like in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches to Israel and they said, what must we do to be saved? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If they believed the message, what would they do? They would be baptized. What was that baptism for? It was a ceremonial cleansing, looking unto the day of atonement when they would get their sins took away. Physical. But in the dispensation of grace, when grace is reigning, the work has been done for you. And God demands nothing of you except believe on His Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, let's look at it just for a few moments. This thing about it. While you're there in Romans 6, turn to look in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. There's that word again. What? Into death. Isn't that something? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And walking in newness of life, we have a desire to walk a resurrected life, just as though we've been resurrected like He was. And that's what Paul's talking about in Philippians, that I have attained. He said, I haven't attained to that life yet. But he said, I'm pressing toward it. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's striving to live a life to glorify the Lord. Since he got saved, his desire is to live as though he was resurrected from the dead. That's newness of life. If you want to see what he's talking about, look over in the verse. In verse 10, Romans 6:10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed by his death, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, you're saved by the grace of God. Your heart's desire is to live as though you've been raised from the dead to glorify the Lord. And we don't get there. Every day we fail the Lord, we come short, and we look at ourselves and we see what the Bible says about ourselves, and we say, my land, God, how could you love somebody like me? How could you save somebody like me? And then you realize, I'm identified. God doesn't see me in my old man that I am. I'm identified in His death, and in His burial, and in His resurrection, alive unto God. And so God says, you see yourself that you died with His Son. You were buried with His Son. And you arose with His Son. Look at yourself in the light of Christ, not in the life that you're living in the flesh. Look at yourself the way God sees you, as alive from the dead. We walk around and beat ourselves up over what we think we are. We let guilt pile up and everything, and it's all been took away from us. Now look at this thing again. By the way, you know, it just keeps on. You just spend so much time here, and there's not a drop of water in chapter 6. Water baptism can't put you into Christ. It can't put you into His death. It can't put you into anything. All it can do for you is get you wet. Look what Paul says about it in Galatians. Hang on to Romans now. We're coming right back. But look at Galatians. Notice in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 27. Well, let me just read 26 while we're there. Look in Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, there it is, into Christ, have what? Put on Christ. How do you put on Christ? By being baptized into Christ. Now when you put on something, You cover yourself, don't you? When you're into something, you're in that. Look what he said, have put on Christ. Now watch verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Turn to Colossians and look in Colossians chapter 2. And there wasn't a drop of water in Galatians chapter 3 either. But you know, people read the book and they'll come across the word baptism and immediately they say, water? They think water's in everywhere. Folks, there's a baptism. There's all kinds of baptisms in this Bible. While John the Baptist said over there, said, I baptize you with water, but there's one cometh after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlace. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Matthew chapter 3, there's three baptisms in that chapter alone. There's water, spirit, and fire. And let me tell you right now, you don't want the fire baptism. Because the fire baptism is that fire that's going to fall when he shall be revealed from heaven by his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's the fire baptism. But look on, look in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. Now we just believe in this Bible means what it says. I mean, Robbie spent up there 30, 40 minutes this morning telling you about the King James is the Word of God and it's the words of God. Now do you believe it? Well, let's look at it. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, and ye are what? Complete. Now if you're complete, is there any more that can be done to you? And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That happened on the cross. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ took your sin upon Him and He became what you are. And that God, through the Holy Spirit, with the sword of the Spirit, cut that body a loose from that soul and spirit. That's what circumcision is cutting away a flesh. And the Spirit of God took the sword of the Spirit, and which is the Word of God, and cut that circumcised Christ and set Him free from that body of sin that He became on the cross, which was you. Now it's fascinating. People say, yeah, I believe that. I believe the circumcision there is spiritual. But then they come to verse 12. Then all of a sudden, they say, but this is physical. Verse 12 says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Well, that buried with Him in baptism is identified. You're buried with it. It's Romans chapter 6. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's being baptized into something. It's being baptized into Jesus Christ and into His death and into His burial, and that you're raised with Him. Folks, God sees you as His own son. Don't you get it? God doesn't see what you are or what you was or what you are now. God sees you as a finished product, as a son of Almighty God with His righteousness, with His justification. And you look to God as though you never did sin. That's That's good news, folks. And so I didn't gain it by keeping the law. I accept it by faith. I didn't earn it. My wage was not salvation through my works. Through my works, my wage is what? Death. But I done died. I died in Him. Isn't that wonderful? And you know something? I can't die again. I cannot be accused again. So, maybe there's one sin. And you know something, people say, well, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins from the time I was born to the time I got saved. And then from the time I get saved till the time I get, I got to confess them to get them saved, forgiven. Now, I want to ask you something. Look in chapter 2, Colossians. He said in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, Christ, having forgiven you how many trespasses? Now, folks, that's grace. All trespasses over here. Now, how many is all? Is that 90%? It wouldn't be all, would it? You know what's fascinating to me? Do you know there's times that I've been wrong and I didn't think I was wrong? You ever been that way? You ever done something wrong or you ever sinned and you didn't think it was a sin? You ever just stretch the truth just a little bit and say, well, that's just a little exaggeration there. Well, I caught a fish that long. Boy, that thing was about that long. What they mean is something like that. You ever done that? Now, my mama could juice up a story, I'm telling you. She'd add a few adjectives. And I'd say to her one time, I said, "Mom, what do you want to say? She'd be like that preacher that was preaching. And she never preached nothing. This old preacher got to preaching one time, and he was just preaching, and he was preaching on the sufferings of Christ. And he's talking about how they covered his head up, and they hit him in the face, and they plucked his beard out, and he got to going like a wildfire. And he said, they just whipped him, and they beat him, and they whipped, and they took a sword out, and they just cut his head right off his shoulders. And kept right on going, didn't even realize what he said. Well, now that never happened. Have you ever done anything like that? That you just really didn't feel like it was sin? Well, then how are you going to confess that? Folks, when He died in AD 33 for your sins, bless your heart, He died for all of them. And when He buried Him, He buried you with Him, that old man that you are. Look back in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Notice in verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Watch that next word. With Him. When was He crucified? AD 33. Our old man was crucified. Put on that cross. God seen that old man that I am on that cross. God see me dying for my sins in His Son. Don't you see? That the body of sins might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. I'm not under the power of sin. I'm not under the bondage of sin. God sees me in the resurrected Son that I am. Now, what about you? One other passage. And I don't really have time to go through all this. I was trying to get to Jacob's ladder. And I wanted to try to show you Jacob's ladder. But that ladder was between earth and Jacob said the gate of heaven, the gate of God. Paul says in verse over there, turn to 1 Timothy and look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You're in Adam over here. Let's say over here is Adam. First Corinthians chapter 15 says, for in Adam all died. You're a sinner today. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know why you're a sinner? Say, well, because I guess I do little bad things. No, no, no. That's the fruit of what you are. You might not do the bad things that the world says is bad. You don't have that fruit. But you got that same nature that produces that fruit as everybody else because you come from Adam. And you come from Eve. And your parents back to Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, there's something that changed in them. Now personally, I think they had the water of life flowing in their veins, and whenever they partook of that fruit, I think that water turned to blood. And they knew they were in trouble. You're in Adam. You know what's over here? Death. How are you going to get over here, and let's say this is in Christ, and everything that's in Christ is holy. There ain't no this over here, unrighteous. This over here, righteous. How are you going to get from here to there? Your works? No. Whatever your works is what you are. Your works that you present to God as a sacrifice, every what you bring to God, that's what that sacrifice and you become one. You are identified with that sacrifice. If you bring your works to God, if you think someday that God Almighty is going to stand up here and there's the way and you put your works over here and you put your good works on this side and over here and that thing's sitting there and good works, bad works, and whichever one works out. And if you got more good and the scales tilt, God's going to accept you. Well, you're as nutty as a pecan pie. Unless you make it like Kim or whoever. Somebody made something, didn't even put pecans in it. But anyway, I ain't going to get it. Why would God send His Son into the slime pits of the world and become what we are? If you could earn it any other way, you can't. So how are you going to get over here? And by the way, over here is death. Over here, life. Verse 3 says, or verse 4, now, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved come unto the knowledge of the truth? Well, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Folks, there's only one way, and that's by this way. You come up through the cross, and you end up in Him. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. He's the life. You want in Christ? Believe that He died for your sins and paid for your sins, and you trust in Him as your Savior. Turn it over to Him and be saved. Turn it over to Him. Over here, people, they're unsettled. They don't have peace. Over here, perfect peace. The Bible says the wicked, there is no peace to the wicked. Money don't give you peace. Look at all that's happening to the rich and the famous, and they're getting in trouble and they're searching for stuff and they're miserable. They don't have peace. There's no joy. Why? They don't have Christ. You'll never can have enough money to give you what Jesus Christ can give you. You'll never get, you can get out of debt. You can have money in your bank account. You can have good health. But if you're miserable inside, it's to no avail. Jesus Christ is your answer. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you have that peace today? Would you stand with me for prayer? While you bow your heads, and I'd like to, I don't normally do this, but I just believe I ought to. If you're here today and you don't know that you've ever been saved, if you don't have the assurance, if you're trusting in anything else other than what He did for you on that cross, then that's sinking sand. And I want you to think with me. And I want you to examine yourself, like Paul said, to see whether you're in the faith. If I come around and give you a sheet of paper and a pencil and told you, I want you to write down the time. Not the date. I don't care about the month, or the day, or the year. I'm not talking about the date, D-A-T-E. I'm talking about the day when you turned your salvation over to Him and you asked Him to save you as a sinner. I remember that day. We sing that old song, I can tell you now the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me. Could you take that piece of paper and that pencil and write on that and say, this is where I trusted the Lord. This is my place. This is my day. And if you can't do it, will you do it today? Right now, there's some of you, and you know you're not saved. You know you've never been saved, and you know you have never trusted Christ. I'm beseeching you in the name of our Lord and Savior. Do it right now. Don't put it off. Do it right now. You don't have to come up here. If you want to come up here, that's fine. But I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you. I know I'm a sinner. And all you have to do in your heart right now, when I pray, I want you to pray. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've never trusted you. I know I'm lost, and if I die, I'm going to go to hell. Lord, will you save me? I believe that your Son died for my sins on the cross. I believe that, and I'm trusting in Him right now. I'm receiving Him as my Savior. Will you do that? If you can't do it, if you're distracted back there in that pew, will you come up here? There is some people in here that's lost, and why don't you make this today? And then you can put down on that paper, it was on a Sunday morning at Charity Bible Church that I trusted Christ as my Savior. Oh my goodness, why don't you do that right now? Will you pray and ask God to save you? Father, I can't make them. And Lord, I've done the best I could do. And I know it was a poor job, but Lord, you can take the weak and confound the wise. Lord, I pray that somebody here would trust you right today. I pray that this will be the day that they'll call upon you, Lord, and they'll let you know that they're a sinner. And that they want to be saved and ask you to save. Lord, you said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, I know if they call upon you for salvation and they mean it, I know you'll save them. Father, I pray that you'll do that for Christ's sake. While heads is bowed, I'm not trying to embarrass you, and I promise you I won't come, but is there one that said, preacher, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm receiving Him as my Savior, and you're holding your hand up as an act of faith. I believe on Him. I trust Him today. Will you do it? Thank you for being here. May the Lord bless you, and come back next